afterwards. So I'd like to turn over and take a look at a few things tonight. It's not like it's real complicated. And sometimes we make it too complicated. We get, I'm guilty, sometimes we get some people, we've got some young folks there at the church at home, they'll ask something, and I've got another brother there in the church, and I'll get through answering the question. He said instead of saying something to me, he'll turn around and look at the person that asked the question and said, how old are you? And then he'll look back at me. And so, sometimes we can make things too complicated. So what does God expect out of us? And not make it too complicated. We'll turn over to place in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. And there was a young man that had a question there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had been quizzing and asking questions, and so it says they in verse 27, and maybe we'll skip down past some of that. But anyway, it says when they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell," and he said unto them, "Neither I tell you by what authority I do." They had asked him about John the Baptist and so forth, and he said, "Hey," said, "was he a man of God and so forth?" And then in verse 28 he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go and I am in 21, so there you go. That's the way a man works, right?" In the 22nd chapter. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees had been asking some questions. We'll go back to that. And when the multitude heard this, and under verse 33, it says, when they heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And if you want to have some fun sometime, go through and look at how many times that Jesus did things and the people were astonished.
Yes. Amen.
Astonished at his doctrine. And I've made this comment before. Just say this again tonight. How many times the one of the great problems, both in the church, if we think the world has problems today, then let's look at the church and find out how many of us are no longer astonished at God's word. Mm-hmm. and no longer amazed at what he did and what he said. I think about Jesus was asleep in the boat, right? And all of a sudden the waves started crashing, the wind was blowing. And the apostles went and woke him up and said, "Master, you care not that we perish?" And he gets up and says, "Peace be still." And automatically the waves and the winds stopped.
Amen.
Yep. And he speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. and the apostles looked at each other and said, "What manner of man is
That's
this?"
Right. That's right.
They were astonished that day at what he had done. And today, when we think about what he's done for us, we ought to be astonished. So anyway, he answered these questions. They were astonished at his doctrine. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer of the law, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, so he didn't. His purpose wasn't pure. he was trying to catch the Lord in some other something. That's what both groups have been trying to do anyway. And he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." when we think about what he just said, I wanted to make it simple tonight. What does God expect out of you and out of me? What does he expect out of us? We go right back, you know, if we looked at some things, and I turn over to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Bible says there that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi, I believe it says, because God doesn't change, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. We can be thankful for that. If he changed, he might love us one day and not love us another, but God doesn't change. His love is an everlasting love. It's an eternal love. And when he chose the people in Christ before the foundation of the world, he loved them. His son came to die for them, and my friends, they will be with him in glory. That's, you know, it gets to be that simple. We go back over, I'm going to turn back over to the book of Deuteronomy, because Jesus doesn't change, God doesn't change. And as the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years after rebelling against God, and the punishment was that all those 20 and above would die there in the wilderness, and the time had come that had come about. Moses has already been condemned because he was told to speak to the rock the second time to bring forth water, and he looked, you know, say what you will. I understand where he was that day. You know, in the sense, not the sense that he was saying, do we have to do this for you? But I do understand his frustration with the children of Israel.
Yes.
Yep. I think we all do. Yep. Any of you ever had kids? grandkids? church members? He was frustrated that day. And was, we bring water from this rock? Well, he wasn't bringing any water to start with. And so that was, and the Lord told him, says, I'll let you go to the mountain and look over the other side. I'm not going to let you go in. Right. And knowing this, he was still doing what he did here in the book of Deuteronomy.
Amen.
He still went over all the commandments of God again, because he wanted to see the children of Israel be successful in their service to God. He had failed, and he didn't. You know, there were times when he whined and cried about going into the service of God back there in the wilderness before he went down to Egypt the first time. But when God pronounced his judgment, he knew God was right. And he still went right on doing what he knew he should do. Not only bringing forth the things of God to God's children, but I just gets me today to even think about how he passed the torch on to Joshua. I mean, this is his replacement, and it doesn't say it like this, but I can just almost see him putting his arm around old Joshua and saying, "He's the man. You follow him just like you followed me. In fact, I hope you do better than that." you know, and Joshua, you be full of good courage. And be strong and of good courage as you go forth and do this. God will be with you like he was with me. I'm telling you, encouraging words. And I'm telling you, you can't get a better way of passing the torch to the next generation than to have the other generation stand there and say, "Here's your guy. I can't go with you, but here's the fellow that will, and God will be with him like he's been with me. Y'all follow him." Oh, I'm telling you. Jealousies and all those things that come around, I mean, need to be. We need to make sure they're not here.
Amen.
Let it be out here in the world, but don't let it be here with us.
Amen.
And so in the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, after they've gone through these 40 years in the wilderness, when they had... They decided Moses was gone and left them alone, and gone up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he comes down, and Joshua's, "I hear the sound of war." It wasn't war. It was them dancing and playing and singing and dancing around the golden calf they had made that Aaron helped them make. And so God sent them into the wilderness. He fed them. He gave them water for 40 years, and their clothes never wore out, and their shoes didn't either. And now he comes to this time and he says, "Now these are the commandments and the statutes which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." Well, there's another one of those verses, Ecclesiastes, right?
Yes.
What's your duty, man? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's right.
And so he says, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged." Fear God. Follow His statutes and His commandments. What, you know, today it seems like, and we do, we need to explain things as we're saying them. But, you know, he doesn't want us, and He didn't want them going around shaking and scared.
Right.
I think about my, you know, my children. You know, my son will tell me every now and then, you know, he's "You're rough." And I probably was. I told my daughter the other day, both of them have got children these days. All three of them got children these days, you know. And something was said, you know, about, you know, she was being firm with the children and all this kind of stuff. And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, we had some folks when y'all were young tell us that y'all were being too hard on these kids." I said, I kind of took it, you know, and said, "Thank you. Thank you for your feedback, you know." But I tried to do, and I'm not saying I got it right, because I messed up enough to confess that, you know, to tell Derek, my son, yeah, I probably was too hard at times, and he could probably name which times. But anyway, but I also told him, I told my daughter the other day, I said, "You know what? People told us we were too hard." I said, "But I'm satisfied with the results."
Amen.
So when you're, God was hard on the children of Israel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And every good father and mother needs to be, tell them where the line is.
Yeah.
Mark it out. He didn't want them shaking scared. He wanted them to fear in a reverential respect.
Yes.
He wanted them to respect them. You know, I tell you today, you know, if we think about in our service to God, you know what we want out of our children? I think about my grandchildren. I try to get their attention sometimes today, you know, talking to them, and I'll say, "Hey, look at me. I'm talking to you. So while I'm talking to you, you look at me, so I know you at least somewhat hear what I say." It works in church.
Yeah.
It works on the job. It works with families. Mm-hmm. You want people to know you're listening to them. Look at them.
Right.
It's a respect thing.
Right. That's right.
It's showing that you fear. You have a respect.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God. Follow after His statutes and His commandments. Listen to Him. How he would say, "Well, I don't hear Him talking anymore." Got a book full.
Amen.
He's still talking today.
Amen.
It's in a written form. It's not oral.
Right.
But He's still speaking to God's children today.
Right.
And so as he's talking to them, He says, "Hear." So He goes through this. I'll read that again. He says, "Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, that not only you, but thy son and thy son's son." There's the direct implication here that he wasn't just supposed to take, they weren't supposed to just hear this and go home and sit on it.
That's right.
They were to make sure their son knew, and that their son's son knew.
Right.
It was to be passed. And I've heard Brother Dolph back a number of years ago, Dolph Painter, talking about generational teaching.
That's right.
About generation to generation to generation, that these things are to be taught. That's what he's saying right here.
Right.
That thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that your days may be long upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first commandment with promise.
Yeah.
That they might be blessed. It goes, all goes back to the same thing, see? It's pretty simple. And he says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Hear it and do it. Don't just hear it, but hear it and observe to do it. That it may be well with thee. See, it's not just in the hearing, it's in the doing of God's work. And that's the blessing comes to us. So he says, hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord of thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Israel, Canaan's land, I believe, is a type of the church today. It is a land, it must be worked. I was blessed to go over to Israel a few years ago after I'd retired. When, you know, we made a little trip over there, and we went by this field, and there was rocks piled up in this field out there. And the guy says, y'all know what that is? You know, well, of course it's rocks, but I mean, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe there, you know, maybe it was an old fence row or something down through there. He said, no. He said, those came out of that field. He said, God gave us a land that flows with milk and honey, but you had to get the rocks out of it so you could plant it and work it so it would produce.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he gave us a land that flows with milk and honey, but you've got to work it.
Right.
And you've got to get the stuff out of the way that's hindering you from producing. And so he says that if the land that flows with milk and honey, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Right.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just a head knowledge.
Right.
It's in your heart. And so here we are in Deuteronomy, hearing the Lord's commandment to the children of Israel. Exact same thing when they want to know, what's the first and greatest commandment, Lord?
Right.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul,
right,
with all thy mind. Oh, and you, but so to, and we may get to that. So, you know, and that's okay. So that's pretty simple. What does that look like? What does that look like to you? I'll fill in the blanks for you here a little bit. You know, but as we think, let's turn over to the 14th chapter of the book of John.
There you go.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom. I see a little circle going on here. Love me with all your heart and soul and mind, and if you love me, keep my commandments. These words, and thou shalt love the Lord, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house. You know, of course, a lot of times, you know, the kids will come in and, well, what did you do? How was school today? What did you learn? But after you get through with that, what do you talk about? Do you talk with them at all? Do you hope they don't bother you the rest of the day? You know, we are to be living, breathing our interactions with our wives and our husbands. Ought to be teaching them something.
That's right.
Our living daily. They ought to see us living daily in a way that teaches them something about God.
Yeah.
Teaches them about love. Teaches them about courage and strength. And in today's world, if you're standing up for the right things, for the things of God's word that He has spoken, His voice is talking to us. If we're doing those things, you're standing up for some things that are right and standing up against some things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to the list if y'all want to. So anyway, we turn over a little bit further. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 10, and we'll just start in there, chapter verse 1. And at that time, the Lord said unto me, hew these tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me in the mount, and make thee an ark of wood, and I will write on these on the tables the words which were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of chittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mountain, and having the two tables in mine hand, he wrote on the tables according to the first writing the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount in the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mountain, put the tables in the ark that I had made, and the children of Israel took their journey, and so forth. And so we'll skip down here a little bit, make sure we get to the place I want to get to. He says, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee?" Mm-hmm. Now we could go to Micah. There's another place over there in Micah chapter 6. What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly. Here he's link those two together in your mind, if you will, and says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good."
That's right.
Well, I'm telling you, have them in your heart. It's so precious to you. You know, if I ask most of you that, you know, married and so forth, you know, that there's something where, you know, the day you realize I'm in love with that young lady, or she realizes maybe she's in love with you, it's not just up here in your head. I mean, your heart is grabbed. I mean, and there's an attachment there that you feel it, right? It's more than just something going on up here. It's a heart of love. And I'll tell you, God wants that kind of love from you and me, and even more, so that we love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our might, all of our mind. That we that we desire to live close to him, to please him. Mm-hmm. And that's the way a good marriage works.
Yes.
You know, you want to please one another. I tell people, you know, some of the best not real arguments, but you know, me and my wife, some of you, where do you want to eat tonight? I bet y'all never had this, have you? Well, where do you want to eat? Well, I want to eat wherever you want to eat. Well, I want to eat, you know. Okay, around that circle we go, right?
Yeah.
But you know what the good side of that is? Both of us really want to please the other one. And God wants that kind of love from us that we just want to please him.
Yeah.
And he's laid it out for us. We've got the instruction book here in front of us.
Yeah.
Love him. And he said, what does that look like? When I get up in the morning, I got him on my mind.
Yeah.
I've got, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And I start my day and say, well, I'm hurting this morning. Yeah, but you know what? You know what that hurt tells you? You're alive. I'm another day that I messed up yesterday. I've got another day. I've got another opportunity to try to please my God. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Today, that's all I've got.
That's right.
Right now. I don't have tomorrow. No promise of it to us. But I've got right now. And so how can I love him tonight? How can I come into his presence with prayer and with thanksgiving and reading his word and not just hearing it, but doing it?
That's right.
I know that he wants me to love him and to go forth and to serve him. So we've got all these things, you know, laid out before us. It's simple, right? Just love God. But with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Let's turn over to that place in the book of Micah real quick if you can. And take a look at that. Because there's, like I said, there's things that go together in God's Word. And here in the sixth chapter of the book of Micah, he says, verse 7, we'll read, start with verse 6. He says, "Wherewith shall I come before thee, Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old?" There, we'll come back to that kind of thinking for just a minute, okay? "Shall I come before thee with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 lambs? And with 10,000 rivers of oil, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Question mark. He's asking, what do I do? Will he be pleased with all of this? "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy?" Are you thankful that God saved you? Well, if you are, then you're thankful for mercy tonight.
Yes.
Because the reason you and I are saved is a result of the merciful, gracious goodness of our God.
That's right.
So what does he require of you? He requires you to treat others the way you would like to be treated. Do justly. Treat people fair. Put things into balance and weigh them out and do it right. Don't take more than you should.
Right.
Just do what you should. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Just, you know, don't be, you know, there's a whole lot to this thing about not going around bragging about what you've done. You're just, you know, if you've done all that you've been expected, that's what Jesus says. He told that story about the servant. You know, he said, if you've done all that's required, you've just done what God expected of you.
Yeah.
You know, if we did everything that we would be required to do, really all we've done is done what God expected. Because what he expected was us to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul. Do justly. To fear God and to keep his commandments. Not just on Sunday, not just at the special meeting time, but every day of the week. And so we're on the job, you know, and we have an opportunity to interact with people. Would they say they see Christ in you? Would they say that they see the love and compassion and charity? And yes, even the times when it's necessary to stand up and say, "I know what they're teaching in these classes they're sending me to, but I disagree with it. And I disagree with it because it's against God's word. It's not just because I said so. It's because what God said."
Amen.
And I'm going to stand with him. And if that costs me friends, you know, whatever along the way, costs me my job, I believe he'll open up another door for me and there'll be some place for me to be.
Right.
And I'll commit to that end. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the children of Israel, They left out of Egypt's land. You know, they were scared, and they didn't go very far until they were like, "Oh, we want to go back." You know, yeah. You know, boy, if we could just go back to slavery and have some melons, and vegetables like they had. You know, crazy thinking. Anyway, so, but in another sense, you know, there were moments I know when they came out of there rejoicing. They were singing on the other side. They're on the other side of the Red Sea, and they saw the waters cave back in upon Pharaoh and his army, and they sang the song, my friends. They were shouting and rejoicing about the God that they were serving. God just expects us to have that kind of rejoicing every day.
That's right.
Because every day, my friends, our enemy is defeated. He may be walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour like a roaring lion upon this earth, but he's lost.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's gone. And you know what? God wants us to live victoriously in the fact that we love him and care for him, and that we're going to try to do what we can to show forth God's gracious love to us by doing that to others. And following after in those ways. So he says, he asked the question here. Now I'll make this comment. We'll try to wrap some things up. But, you know, he asked that would Wherewith shall I come before God? Shall I bow myself down before the high God? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? You know what? I could summarize part of this in another word. You know what God expects out of us? Obedience.
Right.
Amen. Did you ever have a child where you tell them to do something, you just said, well, I really don't expect him to do it? You probably thought he might not do it, or he probably wouldn't do it. But you know what? You, when you ask them to do something, you did it because you wanted them to obey your voice.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, there's all throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Let me go back to Exodus. I could probably go back to Exodus 19. And the commandment there of God as the children were coming, he said, obey my voice. And they said, we'll do it. But they didn't.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. He just wants us to obey. And that's if we turn over to a place that I know will be familiar to all of you. But if we turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the story, there about Saul, King Saul. God had given him a commandment. The Amalekites... The Amalekites had been a pain in the rear. Literally. They attacked Israel from behind when they were coming out of Egypt. And God made a statement that he would see to it that they were wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, of course, you know, that's where one of the first battles took place. They're battling against the Amalekites. Moses is sitting up, you know, standing. As long as Moses' arms were held up, they were victorious. But he'd get tired. I told somebody one time, I said, you know, I can remember back when I was a kid, you know, kids do all kinds of stuff out on the playground, you know, so somebody had heard something new, you know, see how long you can hold your arm out, you know, and they'd count, you know, they'd get their watch or whatever, and they'd count, you know, and probably about 5 minutes is pretty much tops for the fifth grade or whatever, and gravity just got the best of it. Moses, as long as he held his arms up, the children of Israel were victorious. But he got tired. finally they thought, hey, you know what? If we get old Moses, they took a stone and put up under him. I'm going to say a rock. And they put a rock up under him. You know, the Bible says that we're to be founded upon a rock.
Mm.
So that when the storms come and the winds come, we won't be shaken. We're to build on a rock. Moses sat down on a rock, I'll tell you. Well, I could probably say this another way. He tells us in 1 Corinthians that rock that followed them was Christ.
Right.
Now, I typically think of that in relationship to bringing forth water. There was a rock that Moses sat on too. And as he sat on that rock, Aaron and Hur came on each side of him and held his arms up.
Yeah. Amen.
Say, well, what are we to learn from that, Brother Charles? Oh, I tell you what we're to learn. We're to learn that we're to be founded upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we're going through the battles of life, what we need are some good brothers and some good sisters sometimes just to hold our arms up.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Not too complicated, is it?
No.
Kind of simple. We make it way too complicated. And we try to do way too much on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Saul was told to go and to battle against the Amalekites. He was to go down there. He was to kill every man, woman, child, and lives stopped there. And he went down there and he didn't do it. He spared the king. He spared the best of the livestock. And God told Samuel, said, he didn't do it. Better go out and meet him. So Samuel goes out to meet him and says, hey Samuel, boy, great victory down there. And he said, what's this I hear? The lowing of the sheep. What is it I hear behind you? He knew he heard livestock. He confronts him with it. Well, of course, as you go on through the story, you know, well, you know, the people. Mm-hmm. It was the people. Wasn't that? Whew, it that today? Isn't that the world? You know, isn't that, you know, today, the excuses that everybody got, well, that's what the people wanted to do. Well, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the people want us to do. Mm-hmm. It's what does God want us to do.
Right.
He forgot that he was supposed to obey the voice of God above all other voices. And so he begins to make excuses and so forth. And you get down here and Samuel talks to him and says, Saul said in verse 20, said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag and the king of Amalek and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Wait a minute. Wasn't Agag an Amalekite? you were supposed to destroy. And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice of the Lord thy God in Gilgal. It was for a good reason, Lord. They were going to bring it back to sacrifice to you. Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, that means to hear and to do. To hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You thought you were doing what God asked you to do, but actually you rejected God's word. You rebelled against it. And I'm going to skip over to the end of the story, to this story, and think about it. So as Samuel's getting ready to leave, says, then Samuel said, bring hither me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. You say, Brother Charles, that's gross to even think about. You know, he hewed him to pieces. So I want you to think about something. When we don't do what God has asked us to do, sometimes somebody else has to come around and clean up the mess. Have you ever had to go around and clean up the mess that your children made?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about just leaving stuff strewn around the house. Have you ever had things that they got into? I'm talking, you know, just let it run wherever you want that to go to. And you had to go around and help them get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel went down there and cleaned up Saul's mess and rebuked him while he was at it. Mm-hmm. Because to obey is better than all the sacrifices that are out there. Just obey the voice of God. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And doing that just means get up and do what he says to do. Has God called upon us to walk in his ways, to let his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Has he called upon us to train up our children in the way that they should go? And you know, and I've heard this among Primitive Baptists, so I will say this way. Well, they're 18 and they're grown. Well, so what? They're my child. I might not can make them do some things like I did when they were young, but I can give them advice. Then if they don't obey the advice, it's on them, but I can tell them how serious it is.
That's right.
That they do the things that God would have them to do. Because we're to teach them. We're to give it to our sons and our sons' sons and right on down the line. And if we'll do that, my friends, our nation will be blessed again. Our churches will be blessed again. And that's not going to say that our churches are going to be overflowing. I hope they will. But I don't know that that's what it means, because in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what God's word says. We can, and if we don't expect that, when the word says that, then there's something wrong with us. He didn't say evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Things are going to deteriorate before they come, because he tells us just exactly what it's going to be like in the days that he returns. It's going to be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be terrible times here upon the earth. And you know, for us to say, well, I'm not sure that's... God said it was going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
He also didn't say, y'all just flow, go with the flow.
Nope.
You know, heard a fellow say this one time. It was in relation to some things at work, but back in my job working days. But he made this comment. He says, dead fish flow downstream.
That's right.
If we're alive, we're to be kicking against the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to be fighting to get back up like those old salmon do when they're trying to get back home. So that they can spawn once again. Get out there and fight the good fight of faith. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And picture in your mind every day, what does that look like for you? May God bless you, is our prayer.
Amen.